Good morning. Today we merit to begin the third chapter of Masechet Brachos, which continues with the themes of the laws of Kriyat Shema, and who is exempt from Kriyat Shema because he or she is preoccupied with other mitzvahs. That's the first topic, when a man, is preoccupied with another mitzvah. So let's begin. Misha meso mutal lefanav, someone who his dead person, in other words, his dead relative, is placed before him. So he just lost his brother, he just lost his mother, just lost his father, just lost his son, and the dead body is there in front of him, and he has to make all the arrangements for the burial, for the funeral, for the eulogies, for the shiva house. He's very preoccupied. He's tarud b'mitzvah. His thoughts are now all preoccupied with the mitzvah of burial. He's called an onein. He's in the state of right after the death. So, pater mikriyat shema, because he's so busy thinking about how to take care of the deceased, he's exempt from the obligation of reading the shema. Like we saw that a groom, the first night he's getting married, is also exempt from the obligation of reading shema because his thoughts are preoccupied with the mitzvah of the consummation of the marriage. So this person as well is exempt from the mitzvah of reading shema. He's also exempt from minat tefillah. He's also exempt from praying the Shmona Esrei. Uminat tefillin, he's exempt from putting on tefillin. Umikol mitzvah samuras b'Torah, and he's exempt from every other mitzvah that was said in the Torah because he's preoccupied with this mitzvah of taking care of the relative. Now talking about a funeral itself. So in the funeral, they used to pass the dead body from person to person. Everyone wanted to have the privilege of carrying the dead body. So nosei hamita, those who are carrying the bed that has on it the dead body, v'chilufeihen, and those who are going to replace them, because they're going to pass the dead body to the next group who's now going to carry, v'chilufeihen, and those who will replace the replacements. So now there's a difference. Eshelifnei hamita, those who are further ahead of the dead body, in other words, they haven't had a chance yet to carry the dead body, the dead body's ahead of them. Then you have those who are behind the dead body. In other words, they've already carried, they've passed it on. Now maybe they're going to get another chance to carry, but they've already done it. So, those who are ahead of the dead body, who have yet to have a chance to carry the dead body and are going to do it soon. If there's still a need for them, they are exempt from reading Shema. However, those who are behind the dead body, they've already carried the dead body. Even though there's a tzorech behen, even though there's going to be a need for them to carry it a second time, since they've already done it once, chayavin, they are obligated to read Kriyat Shema, because since they've already fulfilled the mitzvah of carrying the dead body and giving the dead body respect, they're not so preoccupied with it. I think it's sort of similar to the groom who already has had the intercourse, or a groom marrying a widow. It's a mitzvah, but they're not so preoccupied. So since they're not so preoccupied, they are obligated to read Shema. Ve'elu ve'elu, now both those who've already carried the dead body and those who will carry the dead body are p'tur min ha'tfilah. They are exempt from Shmona Esrei, because since Shmona Esrei, as many commentators explain, is only a rabbinic obligation, so even a little bit of tirda, a little bit of preoccupation is enough to exempt them of Shmona Esrei. Next topic, kavru sameis. Let's say they already buried the dead body, v'chazun. They're coming back from the cemetery, from the grave. They used to stop in a place called the Ma'amad. And there at the Ma'amad, there would be the shura, where the mourners walk through a line, and the line all wishes the mourners comfort. Amakim minachim eschem. If they can begin and end Shema before they get to that line. In other words, if people could say the first line of Shema, Shema Yisrael Hashem Elokeinu Hashem Echad, which is the minimum of how much you need Kavana for, if they can say that first line before they get to the rows lining up and wishing comfort, Yaschilu, they have to do that. They have to say Shema before they do the Shura. But if not, Yaschilu, then they do not have to begin. Those who are actually standing in the line to give comfort. Hapnimim, those who are in the inner lines, who therefore they see the person who's mourning, and they're going to directly relate with him and talk to him. Pturim, they're exempt from Shema because they have to be available to talk to the mourner and comfort him. Hachitzonim, those who are in the outer lines, so they're just there to give added honor, that there are more people there. So they are chayavim, they are obligated in saying Shema. Okay, so the theme of the Mishnah is individuals who are preoccupied because of death and therefore exempt from saying Shema. So the Gemara is going to first have a discussion. Is it only the relative who literally the dead relative is in front of him? He's in the same room as the dead relative. Or maybe even if he's not around the dead relative, just the very fact that he just lost a relative makes him an Onain, and an Onain is exempt from saying Shema even if he's not in the presence of the dead relative. Asks the Gemara. The Mishnah said, Misha Meso, someone who has his dead relative, Muta Lufanov, placed in front of him. In. That's the one case where he's exempt from Shema. Sheino Muta Lufanov, if he wouldn't be literally right in front of him, then lo, then he's not exempt, then apparently he would be obligated in Shema. Or many, but I'll challenge you, we learned, Misha Meso Muta Lufanov, someone whose dead body is placed in front of him. So we'll get to the question soon. But the first part is the issue of loig larush. It's not right to mock the poor. It's not right to flaunt, oh, I can do mitzvot in front of somebody who's dead and unfortunately can't do mitzvot anymore. So we learned in a braisa, Misha Mesa Muta Lofanav, someone who has a dead relative in front of him, ochel bebayis acher. He has to eat in a different room because if he eats in front of the dead body, it's loig larush. Vim ein lo bayis acher, if he doesn't have another room where he can eat, he should go to his friend's house and eat there. If he doesn't have a friend that he can go to eat, then he can eat here with the dead body in the room. He has to though make a barrier, a wall, a machitza, which is 10 tvachim tall, to separate between him and the dead body. Then he can eat. If he doesn't have anything with which to make a barrier, he turns his face away and he can eat. He does not recline to eat on his left because that's a sign of luxury and comfort. He's not comfortable. He's eating quickly. He can't eat meat. He can't drink wine. Here with this dead relative in front of him, or even if he's in the other room, right? If the dead relative died and he has another room to go to, if he goes to the other room, he doesn't recite blessings. After he eats the food, he doesn't say Birkas HaMazon. Now starting today's daf Yud Ches Amud Aleph. Vein Mevarchin Olav. He doesn't need to seek other people that they should recite the blessing for him to be able to answer to Birkas HaMazon. Vein Mezamin Olav. He can't join a group of two others who ate bread to make a zimun. Hu Patur Mikriyat Shema, and he's exempt from reading Shema. Umenat tefillah, and he's exempt from Shmona Esrei. Umenat tefillin, and from wearing tefillin. Now remember, this is referring to all the cases, whether he's in another room or in another house, or if he has a machitza, he has a wall between him and the dead body, or if he's turning his head away. But in all these cases, we have this line that he's exempt from Shema and from tefillah and from tefillin. When we come into some words of the Torah, and he's exempt from all the mitzvahs of the Torah. However, with a Shabbos, on Shabbos, Mesa, then he does recline and have a comfortable meal. For Ochel Basar, he's allowed to eat meat. For Shosian, he can drink wine. Umevarech, and he says the blessing before the food. Umezamin recites the grace after the meals, after the food. Umevarech and Olav, other people can recite the blessing for his sake. Umezamin Olav, and other people can include him into his zimun. And on Shabbos, Chayav B'chol Mitzvos Amuras B'Torah. On Shabbos, he's obligated in all the mitzvos of the Torah. Because we've obligated him on Shabbos to recite a blessing before food and a blessing after food and to say Shmona Esrei and to say Shema, therefore Neschai Bekulin, he's obligated in all of the mitzvahs. So I ask one second, I'm Rabbi Yochanan, might be not. What's the difference between Rabbi Shimon ben Gamliel and the Tanakhama? They both say that on Shabbos the Onain, the one who has just lost a relative, has to do all mitzvahs. The difference is, does he even have to engage in intercourse with his wife to fulfill the mitzvah of ona, of regularly giving time to his wife? According to the Tanakhama, yeah, he's obligated in all the mitzvahs of the Torah, that is, benching and davening and shema, but not ona, that's pleasure. How could he have pleasure when he's an onain? And according to Shimon Gamliel, Since on Shabbos he doesn't display any signs of aninut, any signs of pain and mourning, the same way he's supposed to recite blessings before and blessings after, he's even obligated to be intimate with his wife. Okay, but why did we want to quote this whole brisa? Katani miyas, what we do have, though, in the middle of the brisa, towards the end, is that if it's not on Shabbos, if it's during the week, pater mikriya shma, the onen is exempt from reading shma, umina tfila, and from praying the shmona esrei, umina tfilin, and from wearing tfilin, umikala mitzvos amuras b'tzorah, and from all the mitzvos of the Torah, even if he's eating in another room. So if he's eating in another room, it's not meso mutal lefanav, it's not his dead body in front of him, he's in another room. So you see that even when he's not literally in front of the dead body, he's exempt. So we have a contradiction. Our Mishnah says, Misha meso mutal lefanav, if his dead body is placed before him, if we're in the same room and the dead body's in front of him, he's exempt from mitzvos. But the Braisa says he's exempt from mitzvos even when the dead body's not in front of him. So two answers. Amar Rav Papa, Rav Papa said, Targum ha-machzer panav ochel. No, maybe that line in the Braisa, he's exempt from all the mitzvos, is not referring to all the cases in the beginning of the Braisa. It's only referring to the last case. The last case is if he doesn't have material to make a machitza, he turns his head around and he eats. So if he's turning his head around and eating, he's in the same room. So in the same room, he's exempt from mitzvos. But maybe if he's in a different room, he would be obligated in mitzvos. Like our Mishnah. Rav Ashi said, no. Really, our Mishnah is like the Braisa. Kevin Shemutalo Vlakovro. Any person who has an obligation to bury his relative, Kimuta Lefan of Tami, that's already considered as if the dead body is in front of him. When the Mishnah says, Misha Meso Muta Lefanav, someone whose dead body, his dead relative is placed in front of him, it's not that literally the dead body is in front of him. It means, since he has to bury this dead body, it's as if he's in front of him. And any situation where it says, if he's in front of him, he's exempt from all the mitzvot, Shanamar, as it says in regards to death. Sorry, Menu, but Yaakov Avram Melpne Meso, Avram Avinu got up from the face of his deceased. And then the pasuk says, "Ve'ekbra me'simil fanai." So he wasn't with the deceased anymore. He's talking now to Ephron, and he says, "And let me bury my deceased from before me." But she's not before him. The answer is that kol zman shemutal of lekovro, as long as he has the obligation to bury this deceased, kemutal lefanav tami. That's already considered as if it is literally placed before him. Okay, so two possible points of view. Either one is exempt from mitzvot as an onain when literally the dead body is in front of him, or whenever one has the responsibility to take care of the dead body, that's considered as if the dead body is in front of him, and then he's exempt from commandments, from fulfilling other mitzvos. All right, another point in the Mishnah. The Mishnah says, Misha meso muta lefanav, someone who his dead relative is placed before him. That sounds like it's only if it's his relative, if he's an onain. What about if it's a different dead body, just not his relative? Meso in, only if it's his dead relative. Avol, but if it's not his relative, but there's a dead body, and he's mishamro, and he's protecting the dead body, he's guarding the dead body from any rodents, desecrating the dead body, lo, it sounds like he'd then be obligated, right? It's misha meso. Because if it meant anyone who's in front of a dead body, it should say, Misha Meis Muta Lefanav, anyone who has a dead body in front of him, which would include others and his relative. The fact that it says, Misha Meiso, someone who his dead body is in front of him, his dead relative, that sounds like only his relative, but not somebody else. By the time, didn't we learn in a Braisa? Hameshameres Ameis, someone who is guarding a dead body. Afu Bisha Eno Meiso, even though it's not his relative. Patmi Kriyashma Minat Fila, Uminat Filin, Mikol Mitzvah somewhere is Patorah. He's busy with the mitzvah. And because he's busy with a mitzvah, he's exempt from reading Shema, from Tefillah, from Shmona Esrei, from Tefillin, and from any mitzvah in the Torah. Answer the Gemara. Mishamro, afu pish eino meso. You're right. If he is guarding a dead body, even if it's not his relative, he'd be exempt from all the mitzvahs, like the Braisa taught us. Meso, if it's his relative, even though he's not needed to protect it right now, afu pish eino mishamro, even though he's not currently guarding it, still, it's his relative in front of him. He has to make preparations for the funeral. He's an onain, and he's exempt, even if there's somebody else, to do the shmira. Asks the Gemara. So it comes out from the Spraisa. Meso, if it's his relative, or mishamro, or if he's guarding a dead body, then he's exempt from mitzvos. But if he's not doing that, he's just walking through a cemetery, the implication from the Mishnah is, and the Braisa, lo, then he is obligated in Shema. But we learned that even walking through the cemetery exempts him. But didn't learn in Braisa. A person should not be walking through a cemetery with the tefillin on his head or a Sefer Torah on his arm and he's reading the Sefer Torah, because that's the prohibition called Loeg LaRash, mocking the poor. The dead can't do these mitzvahs anymore, and he's doing it, so that makes them feel bad. The most again, if he does it, Over Mishum, he violates this verse in Mishlei, Loeg LaRash, one who mocks the poor, Cheref Oseyu, is really disgracing the one who made him. If I mock the poor, I'm disgracing God who made me. Because I should have respect for all that God made. God made people in his image. Since they were made in his image, we have to show them respect. It's not right to flaunt, oh, I can do a mitzvah when he can't. So my answer is, Hassam, in regards to somebody walking through a cemetery, it's only toch arba amos. It's within 6 feet of the grave, within 4 amos of the deceased. Huda Asr, that's called Loig L'Rash, and it's prohibited to wear tefillin or to carry a Sefer Torah or to do mitzvos. Chutzli Arba Amos, but if one is more than 6 feet away, outside of the 4 Amos, then Redi Chayv, then he is obligated to do the mitzvos. The Amar Markus, we've learned, Meis, a dead body, Tofes Arba Amos L'Kriyat Shema. He grabs 4 Amos in regards to Kriyat Shema. He creates a prohibition of reading Kriyat Shema within 4 Amos of the Meis. But outside of the 4 Amos, he's allowed. Hacha, what are we talking about in our Mishnah or the Braisa, the case of Meso Muta Lefana, of our Mishnah, the case of the Braisa, Misham, was somebody watching a dead body, even though he's Chutzlar Ba'amos, even though he's more than 6 feet away from the dead body, if he's watching, or if it's his relative, he's Patri, he's exempt from all mitzvos based on Osik B'mitzvah, Patri Min HaMitzvah, and that's different than Lo'eg L'Rash. Kufa, we just learned, HaMashamer Sameis, if a person is guarding a dead body, even though it's not his deceased relative, he's exempt from reading Shema, or from praying the Shemona Esrei, or from wearing tefillin. And he's exempt from all the mitzvos of the Torah. Let's say there are 2 people doing the guarding. So then, let one guard when it's time for Kriyat Shema, and the other one can now take off and read the Shema. And then, then the one who just read the Shema should come in and now guard. Vizem, the one who guarded, Kore can now go and read away from the dead body. And Azai Omer Ben Azai says, Hayu Boim Besfina, let's say you have 2 guards in a boat with the dead body. Manicho Bezav Vizu, then he can leave the dead body in a corner. Umaspalim Shneim, and both of them can go to the other corner and pray Shmona Esrei B'Zavas Acheres in the other corner. Ask him, Aramai Benai, what's the difference between the Tanakama and Ben Azai? Ravina said, the question is, are we worried about mice on boats? Choshen Lach Bar Nika Benai, the question is, are we worried about mice on a boat? That's the difference between them. Mar Savar Cheshina, according to the Tanakama, even on a boat, we're worried about mice. If there are 2 guards, one stays and the other one can go off, but they can't both go away, because they have to worry about the mice. But Nazai holds it on a boat, Lo Chayshina, we're not worried about mice. That's why both of them can step away to the corner to say Shema.
The purpose of the Shomrim is just about mice?
Correct.
That's right.
Hamolich atzamos mimakom lemakom. If somebody is transporting human remains, a dead body, from place to place, so we have to treat a dead body like the way we treat a Sefer Torah. We've seen this in other places in Shas too. The Gemara says in Shabbos that someone who's in a room when a person dies has to tear his clothing like a person who sees a Sefer Torah being burned. Every Jewish soul is like a piece of Torah. It's like a Torah scroll. Every soul is a letter in the scroll. Every soul has the holiness of the Torah. There's the famous line of Rav Moshe Chaim Lutzato, Yisrael, Kudsha Brichu v'Oraisa Chadu. The Torah, Oraisa, God, Kudsha Brichu v'Yisrael, and the Jewish people are all one. Every Jew is Torah. So a dead body is treated like we treat a Sefer Torah. So we have to treat it with respect. Someone who's taking the dead body from place to place. I shouldn't put it into a leather sack. And then put these human remains on a donkey. And ride on them. Because he's treating them with the ways of disgrace. However, but if he was worried of thieves or Gentiles, or, you know, and he may have to run away, so then mutter, then he's allowed to sit on the, put the dead body in a bag, put it on the back of a donkey and sit on it. And even though that's seemingly disrespectful, it's not disrespectful. It's to protect from a situation of real disgrace. So then it's already permitted. In the same way that it's true sometimes to sit on a dead body because that's the way to protect the dead body, Chach Amru b'Sefer Torah, they said the same thing about a Sefer Torah. You shouldn't put a Sefer Torah on a donkey and then ride on top of it. But if that's the only way to protect it from bandits and others, then you're allowed to do so.
So when they, what's called, took Yosef's slim servant's time, they tore all their shirts and everything?
No. You're tearing the shirts if you're in the room at the moment of the death.
Oh.
Says the Gemara, hi. Which line did we refer to when we say that the Sefer Torah is like a dead body? Ilei Ma'aretz, if referring to the first point, the same way you shouldn't put a dead body under normal circumstances in a leather bag and put it on a donkey and then ride on the donkey, you know, sitting on it. Pshita, that's obvious. Migara Sefer Torah. Natsamos, would anyone think that a Sefer Torah gets less respect than human remains? Ela Sefer, the point is the latter point, that there's the schiddish, that sometimes what is seemingly an act of disrespect is not really an act of disrespect. It's actually an act of respect to sit on the Sefer Torah to prevent thieves from getting it. And that's what we have to say. The Sefer Torah is like the dead body. Amar Rachba, Amar Rav Yehuda. Rachba, send the name Rav Yehuda. Kol haroeh ha-meis. Anyone who sees a dead body coming by, and he doesn't join in to the funeral procession to walk it at least 6 feet over Mishum, he's violating this pasuk in Mishle. Lo egla rush, one who mocks the poor, cheref oseyu, is embarrassing and shaming the one who made him. In other words, God made every human being in his image. So every human being deserves a certain amount of respect because this human being is in the image of God. So if there's a funeral right now and people are giving respect to this human being by walking him, I need to walk him too. If I don't walk at least 4 amos, I'm disgracing God who made the human being. I don't respect God's handiwork. I'm not showing honor to what God has made. And that's terrible. It's lo igla rasha. I'm mocking, oh, he can't get back at me. He's dead. That's a terrible thing. Lo igla rush. Imil vo. But if, let's say, he did escort him. Maschara, what's his reward? Amar Ravasi. Ravasi said, Alava kasuv omer. About him, the verse says, Malvei Hashem chonein dal. So literally the verse is saying, one who lends to God is one who has compassion to the poor. But here it's saying, no, Malvei Hashem, one who escorts God. One who escorts to do the godly mitzvah of going to a levaya, chonein dal, is like someone who's giving a gift to a poor person. Umachabdo, and one who honors him, chonein avyon, is one giving a gift to someone very, very impoverished. So if you want to honor God, then help out the poor by going to the funeral, even though that person can't do anything back for you, then you're doing something for God. That's a special thing. You're showing respect to God. Hibchia and Rabbi Yonah's son, Havushakli va'azli b'veis hakvaris. They were once conversing while walking through a cemetery. Havakashad yitzchiltot Rabbi Yonah's son, the tzitzis of Rabbi Yonah's son, were dragging on top of the graves. Amalei Rebchia, Rebchia said to Rebbe Yonah's son, Dalye, lift up your tzitzis. Kidei shelo yomru, because what you're doing now is lo egla rush, it's mocking those who are impoverished. So that these deceased, not say lemachar, tomorrow, boy netzlinu, they're going to come to us. V'achshav anam, mecharfen osanu, they are embarrassing us. Amar leh, Rabbi Yonasan said to Rabbi Chiya, Mi adi kuli hai? Do these dead people even know this? To those who are dead, are they even aware of what's going on earth? Vaksiv, doesn't the verse say, V'ameisim enam yodim u'uma, the dead don't know anything. Amar leh, Rabbi Chiya said to him, now we're going to have an amazing story. Im karis, if you read this pasuk, lo shanisu, you haven't repeated the pasuk, you haven't reviewed it to understand it better. Im shanisu, if you reviewed it, lo shilash, you haven't learned it a third time. Im shilash, you've learned it a third time, lo pirshulach, they never explained it to you. The meaning of the verse like this: Ki achayim yodim sheyamusu, the living know that they will die. That means elu tzadikim. That's a reference to the tzadikim. B'misasam nikraim chayim. Even when they're dead, they are considered alive. Yodim sheyamusu. When they are alive, they know that they will die, and therefore they avoid sin. How do you know that the tzaddikim are called alive even after they die? Shenemar, as we have with the tzaddik Benayo ben Yoyada, who we had quoted earlier in Daf Dalet. Benayo ben Yoyada was the head of the Sanhedrin. Ben Ishchai, the verse says, he was the son of the man of life. Rav Palim, one who did many, many deeds. Mikavtziel, from Kavtziel, hui kashnei Ariel Moav. He hit the two Ariel of Moav. We'll see, that's a reference to the Beis HaMikdash. He went down and he hit the lion in the middle of the pit on the day of the snow. So first of all, Ben Ishchai, the son of a living man. Atukuli Alma B'nei Meisininu, everybody else are children of the dead. Hello, what it means is Ben Ishchai, he was the son of a tzaddik. B'nayo Ben Yehoyada, he was the son of Yehoyada. Shafilu B'misaso Karuichai, he's the son of someone who even when he's dead is called alive. Because the tzaddikim, even when they are dead, are considered alive. Rav Palim, a person who does many handiwork. I remember hearing the story, somebody once came to the Chazon Ish, and he said that the grave of the Gra in Vilna was in disrepair, and they should maybe send money to the Jews of Lithuania to repair the Ohel, the structure above the grave. And the Chazon Ish said, I never knew that the Gra passed away. I speak to him every day. Because the tzaddikim, when they are dead, they are still alive. Rav Palim, now it's referring to the other phrases in the verse. Rav Palim, one who did many handiwork, Mikav Tziyah. What that means is like Shereba v'kibetz Palim l'Torah. He gathered, he increased many and gathered many workers for Torah. V'hu'i kashnei ariel moav. That means, shalo yiniach kemosel. There was no one like him. Lo b'miktash rishonan in the first temple. Lo b'miktash sheni nor in the second temple. Ariel is a reference to the Beis HaMikdash. He went down and he hit the lion in the day of the snow. Some say the tavik is the barda. He went and he broke pieces of ice that were on the water to go and be tovel in the river, or to be tovel in the mikvah that had frozen over, because he would only learn Torah in a state of purity, as we're going to see soon in a couple of days, that there was a law not to learn Torah if a man was a balkari, if a man had had a discharge of semen. So he broke the ice to be able to be tovel, to immerse himself to learn Torah. Ikadami, some say the Tanis Sifra de Beirav, he taught the entire Torah's Kohanim, the entire Medrash of Kachim, B'yom of the Sitva, in one winter day. So it's a short day. And in one short day, he taught the whole Torah's Kohanim. He knew it so well. Okay, so that's how we prove the point that the tzaddikim, even when they're dead, are called alive, because he's called Ben Ish Chai. The dead don't know anything. That's a reference to the Rishayim, the wicked. Even when they are alive, they are called dead. Even when they are alive, they're dead. They're ignoring the day of death. And then they do sin. So they're alive, but really dead. As the verse says, Va'ata Chalal Rasha, and you are a Chalal, a wicked one. Nasi Yisrael, the leader of Israel. And he's saying, you, Tzidkiyahu, are a chalal, a dead body, because you're a Rasha, because you're wicked. Because you're a Rasha, you're a chalal, you're a dead body, even when you are alive. Alternatively, we can prove it from another source, from the following verse. Al pishnayim edim o shlosha adim, yumasa meis. On the testimony of two or three witnesses, the dead will die. Understand, the living dies, not that the dead will die. The answer is chayu, he's living. The answer is el meis meikara. He's considered already dead. Since he sinned and he did whatever it was that deserves death, he's already considered dead. B'nei Reb Chiya, nafuk l'kriyasa. children of Reb Chia went to the villages in order to be busy with their fields. Aikul hutzal midayu, and they forgot their learning. Havukum etzai lad kuri, they were in a lot of pain to try to remind themselves of their learning. Amar lechad lechavri, one said to his friend, Yad avun b'hai tzara, does our father who's already died, does he know of this pain that we have? Amar leidach, the other one said, Minah yata, how would he know? Haksiv, yichpadu vana v'lo yeda. That even if the children of the deceased will be honored, the deceased will not know about it. So how would our father know? Amlidach, the other one said, V'lo yada, does our father not know our pain that we forgot our learning? Vaksi, but doesn't the verse say, Ach besaro alav yichav, however his flesh will be a pain, will be pained on him. V'nafsho alav tevbal, and his spirit will mourn about him. Amr Abitzuk said, Kasha rima lemes, the worms are as painful to the dead like a needle in living flesh. The way many commentators explain what that means is, even though the dead don't have feelings, but the soul is watching the dead body. So when the soul sees the dead body decompose and the worms eating it, it's very upset that that's what happened to its dead body. This used to be my dead body. This is what's happening to it. So you see that the dead do know. Amri, so they answered in the yeshiva, listen, Mitzara did huyati. Maybe the dead know about the pain that's directly affecting them, about their bodies decomposing, but tzara d'achrina, but the pain of their children, that their children have forgot their learning, maybe lo yadi that, maybe they do not know. So again, we're talking about this topic, do the dead know what's going on in this world? V'lo, is that really true that the dead don't know what's going on in this world? V'atayne b'rilindin abraisa, ma'aseh b'chasid echad. There was a story with a person who was very pious. He always went and did beyond the letter of the law. So what happened? It was a famine. He gave away the last money that he had for the poor. It was a year of famine, and there was no rain, and it was very expensive, and he gave his dinar, his money, to a poor man on Erev Rosh Hashanah. His wife was very upset. His wife was angry with him. She started fighting with him. We don't have much money, and now you gave it away to the poor. So what did he do? Halach v'lam b'vesakvaras. He went to sleep in the cemetery. So why is he sleeping in the cemetery? Some say because his wife, he was uncomfortable being home. His wife was angry with him. He didn't want to go to a neighbor because that would embarrass his wife to tell the neighbor that his wife is angry with him. So he went to sleep in the cemetery. Others say he went to the cemetery so that the souls in the cemetery would pray for him and they would help him out. At the cemetery, the deceased can pray for those who come. So what happened? He was sleeping in the cemetery in Rosh Hashanah night. So he overheard two souls talking to each other. One said to her friend, Chaverti, my friend, let's go fly throughout the world. And let's hear from behind the curtain of the Almighty, what tragedy is coming to the world? And what is God decreeing on Rosh Hashanah? The friend said, I can't, because I am very poor. And I'm not buried in proper shrouds. I'm buried in a mat of reeds. So who cares if she's buried in a mat of reeds? So apparently, according to some commentators, when you go up to heaven, you appear in heaven in light of the form, with an image of the clothes that you have on earth. So she said, I was so poor, I'm in a mat of reeds. It's not respectful to appear as a soul with that type of an image. Others suggest that the soul can only appear in heaven once the body decomposes. So if she would have been buried with clothing, then the clothes would have decomposed and the body would have decomposed. But if she's buried in a mat of reeds, the reeds don't decompose. So she said, I can't go all the way up. Helochia, so you go. Machat shamash, immediately, whatever you hear, tell me. So one of them went and flew around the world. Amalah Chaverta came back and said to her friend, Chaverti, ma shamat me'achoriya pargut. The friend said to her, what did you hear from behind the curtain? Amalah, she said, shamati shekol azorev revir rishona. Anyone who plants during the first rainy season, the beginning of Cheshvan, barad malko, so because there's going to be hail, this is going to grow quickly, it's going to already be firm, and if it's firm, the hail is going to break it. What did this chassid do? Halachu v'zar b'rviyashniyah. He didn't plant when everybody else started planting in the beginning of Cheshvan. He waited till the second rain season. That's when he planted. And so by the time the hail came, his stuff was still very soft and it wasn't getting destroyed by the hail. Shalkol olam kulo laka. The whole world lost their wheat. Shalolo laka. He didn't lose his wheat. Shana acharis, next year, Again, went to sleep in the cemetery. Again, he heard the same conversation. One said to her friend, let's go fly throughout the world and let's hear from behind the curtain what's happening. What's going to happen? What tragedy is going to happen? In other words, maybe by now your mat reeds have decomposed. She said, no, chaverti, my friend. Didn't I tell you already? Any chol, I can't do it. I'm buried in mat reeds. So you should go. And whatever you hear, come and tell me. She went. She flew throughout the world. She said to her friend, chaverti, my friend. What do you hear from behind the curtain? She said to her, shamati, I heard. She doth malko. So this will be the opposite. Anyone who plants in the second rainy season, it's going to be ruined by a flood. It's going to be ruined by a flood because it has to be strong. So halach v'zar b'rvi yishchona. So he went and he planted in the first rainy season. Olam kulo nishdaf. Everyone else's wheat got destroyed. V'shalolo nishdaf. His didn't get destroyed. Amelo ishto. His wife said to me, p'nei ma yishtakin shalkolo olam kulo laka. Last year, everybody lost their wheat. Shalchalo laka, you didn't lose your wheat. Actually, this year, shalchalo olam kulo nishdaf, everybody else lost their wheat. Shalchalo nishdaf, yours didn't get lost. Sachla kalat varmalalu, so he told her the whole story. You know why? It's because you got angry with me, and I went to the cemetery, and I overheard the soul speaking, and I found out what God is deciding for the year. Amu, they said, it wasn't a long time. Until there was a fight between the wife of this pious person and the mother of that young girl. Amrallah, so this woman couldn't control herself. She said, L'chiv areich biteich, do you want me to go show your daughter? She's buried in a reed mat. The next year, the third year, halach v'lam v'esakvaras, this chassid went and slept again in the cemetery. Shama osan shtei ruchos m'sapazum. So he heard these spirits again talking to each other. Amrallah once said to the friend, chavirti, my friend, boy v'nashu b'olam v'nishma yachoyer pargin ma'pronis b'olam. Let's go fly throughout the world and hear from behind the curtain what's the tragedy coming to the world this year. Amrallah, she said to her, chavirti, my friend, anichani, leave me alone. Tvarim shabeni l'beinech, the things that are between me and you, kvar nishmu, maybe b'nachayim, already heard amongst the living. Amalyadi, so you see that the dead know what's going on. Answer, no, maybe not. Right? Because this young girl is telling her, you know, people know about us. Maybe here it's different. Maybe somebody else died and went up to heaven and told them. But not that they overhear what's going on earth. Tashma, come in here, prove another story. Whether the souls know what's going on earth. Ziri, have a mafkid, zuzi, gabbish. Ziri had deposited money with the wife of the man he was staying with. Adasi Vazal Bey Rav, when he was going and coming back from Yeshiva, Shriva, she died. Azal Basal Khatsar Mavasi, he followed her to the cemetery. Amrlay said to her, Zuzi Echa, where's my money? Amrlay, she said, here it is. Zil Shaklinu Mituti Tsinor Didasha Batuf Plan. Go take it from underneath the hinge in the following place, underneath the door. The Emala Leima. And I ask you something else. Go tell my mother. She should send me my comb and the container holding my eyeliner. Bade Planisa with the following lady, Dasi Lamach, who's coming tomorrow. Amaliadis, you see that they know what's going on. Mara says again, Duma Duma Kaduma Machaslu, maybe the soul in charge of all the angel in charge of the deceased. Duma already announced that certain souls coming tomorrow, but they don't really know what's going on. Tashma finally coming here, the following proof. Avud the Shmuel, the father of Shmuel, the orphans had deposited money with him to watch. Kinach Nafshi, when he died, Lava Shmuel, Gabe Shmuel wasn't there. So then, Avukakarele Barach, then they would call Shmuel the son of the one who eats the money of the orphans. So Azla Vashik L'chatzar Mavah, Shmuel went to the cemetery. Amalu, he said, Bina Abba, I need my father, Abba. Amalu, this soul said, Abba Tuvikar. A lot of people here called Abba. Amalu said, Bina Abba Bar Abba, I need my father. His name was Abba Bar Abba. Amalu, Abba Bar Abba, Nami Tuvikar. There are a lot of people with that name. Amalu, he said, Bina Abba Bar Abba, Wood Shmuel, I need Abba Bar Abba, the father of Shmuel. Hey, where is he? Amalu, they said, Salukum Sipsa Durukia. He went to the yeshiva Shalmala. Adachi, while he's having the conversation, Chazilu Levi Yosef Abaroi, Shmuel saw that Levi is sitting outside of the yeshiva Shalmala. Amalei Shmuel said to Levi, Amai Yasus Abaroi, why are you outside? My time of Losalkas, why don't you go into the yeshiva of heaven? Amar le, Levi said to Shmuel, the Amili, they told me, Kol kianach shani delos slikus lemasif to the Rav Eppes, v'achushitu ledaiti, all those years he didn't go into the yeshiva of Rav Eppes, it made him feel bad. Lo, my little love, masif to the Rav Kiyo, we're not going to let you go into the yeshiva of Shomala. Adachi, v'achi yasi avu. As they're having the conversation, Shmuel's father came out of the yeshiva of Shomala to talk to Shmuel. Chazid avu kabachi v'achi. Shmuel saw that his father was laughing and crying. Amar le, he said to his father, my time of kabachis, why are you crying? Amar le, he said to Agil Kazis, because you're about to die. My time is, and why are you laughing? The chashiva is by Yama too, because you're very prominent in this world. I'm like, so Shmuel said, Levi, if I'm so prominent, let Levi get into the yeshiva Shalmala. I little Levi, let Levi in. I'm like, Shmuel, and Shmuel said to his father, so the Yasmi Echa, where are the money of the orphans? I'm like, his father said, Zil Shakminu Bamsan Rechaya, go take it from where the millstones are placed. You're going to see that there's money, and money. The top money is ours, the bottom money is ours. Mitzia, the middle money is the Yasmi of the orphans. Amalei Shmuel said to his father, my time of this haki, why'd you do it this way? Amalei said, Ignuvi Gnevit may be done. If they're going to steal, I want them to steal from our money, from the top. Viachli Aaron, if the ground is going to cause the coins to decompose, Achli Midan, let them eat the money that's, let the ground eat the money that's on the bottom, our money, and the money of the orphans should be saved. Amalei, so again, you see that the dead know what's going on, because the father of Shmuel knows that his son is so prominent. I said, no, Dilma Shani Shmuel. Maybe Shmuel was different. Came with the Chashivi, Kadmi Yomachasi. Since he's very prominent, they're announcing that he's about to die, and they're saying, Panu Makom, clear a place for Shmuel. Okay, we can say a Kaddish Drabbanan.